Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It is Friday. Congressman Pocan was not available to us on Wednesday, so here he is today. Thank you so much. Congressman Pocan is the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. He also represents brilliantly the 2nd District of Wisconsin and apparently several other districts in the neighborhood where he shows up, like Paul Ryan's district, because Paul Ryan won't do town halls there, so Congressman Pocan does. Pocan.house.gov is his website. You can tweet him at Rep, R-E-P, Mark Pocan, and he will be with us for the whole hour taking your calls at 202-808-9925. Congressman, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Very glad to be here.
And so it's Middays with Mark on Anything Goes Friday, and after this first hour, it'll be Anything Goes Friday. I'm curious your thoughts on the tariffs. Both Mexico and Canada have reacted, and I guess Europe is reacting, too. Your thoughts on all this?
You know, it's not much different from when he first started talking about tariffs. Is we've still been waiting to see a cohesive, comprehensive, understandable policy about trade from this president, because we really haven't. Much of those of us who've been concerned about trade for a very long time based on labor law, sovereignty issues around ISDS provisions, environment, etc., you know, we come at this from a very different place than Donald Trump. Donald Trump largely comes at this from a xenophobic sort of background. So during the election cycle, the top lines he said certainly were reasonable, right? That we should have fair trade and that we've got trade imbalances and we need to address that and we could have better trade deals. The problem is he hasn't shown any understanding beyond those sentences. And now when we see some of the tariffs, you know, instead of going after China, which everyone knows is probably one of the bigger issues that we have out there, we're going after some neighboring countries. And in some cases, the president's even saying things that don't make sense. Like on German cars, a lot of German car manufacturers have facilities making cars here in the United States. So again, it just goes to, if I thought he actually knew what he was doing and understood the issue and it wasn't just because he's America first for a xenophobic reason, I would have a little more comfort. But right now I've got some real indigestion on what he's doing, because I don't know if in the long run it'll accomplish any of the goals of those of us who've been working for years on this issue.
Yeah, there was a long piece in the Financial Times about this morning. And of course, they're free traders. I mean, you know, they're in with the neoliberal consensus. And which both you and I and Donald Trump theoretically disagree with. But their point was, you know, if he was doing this in a way that had a coherent organizational structure or framework around it with a clear philosophical base so you could predict where he was going and what was going to be next, and if he was doing it in anything more than 5-year tranches, I mean, apparently the Canadians pulled out a NAFTA when Mike Pence insisted that after 5 years it go away. And I think that's because Mike Pence is thinking, you know, 6-7 years, he might be president,
right?
If he, you know, Pence represents the corporate side of the Republican Party. He represents the the Chamber of Commerce and whatnot, whereas Trump represents the racist part of the Republican coalition. The business, according to the Financial Times, business just, you know, they're just throwing their hands up in the air because they can't, you know, they've got to have some level of certainty.
Well, and think about it. Yeah, if you were trying to come back to America like we're trying to do, get companies to come back here, if you don't know what certainty he's doing with tariffs, because I'm not against tariffs per se. They can be used very effectively. I'm not sure that he's doing them effectively.
Right.
But how are you going to encourage people to come back here and produce jobs in America if they don't know if some of their input products or other things could all of a sudden be challenged by other countries because we have an incoherent trade policy coming from this president?
All right. And the lines are starting to fill up. We'll pick up our calls in just a second. Just one other quick question. I understand that the leadership of the Democratic Party has taken a position now on the intentional breaking up of families, and a new policy started under the Trump administration in a big way, for which he is weirdly blaming Democrats.
Exactly. I mean, you know, this is, again, you know, Donald Trump, if his lips are moving, he's likely lying. And in one of his tweets that he put out, he basically said, this is a policy, you got to blame the Democrats, when we know it's his administration that's made the case to separate families, is trying to somehow disincentivize people from coming. But, you know, in some cases, they're literally ripping babies from the arms of mothers who are seeking asylum. It's not like people sneaking into the country and, you know, some of the things that people don't like about what they think is the issue. But this is asylum seekers, women and families with babies being separated to maybe never get back together again. And you know, the Democratic leadership in both the House and the Senate today put out a statement. Obviously, many members have been saying this for, you know, quite a while, especially since they got a big focus at the end of last week. But I'm hoping that when we all go back next week, this is something that gets a lot more attention.
Yeah, if you're a parent, just imagine this Republican policy of tearing your child from your arms and imprisoning both of you. And you have no idea if you'll ever see that child again or if they're going to end up, you know, being sold off to human traffickers, which apparently has happened. And if you don't have children, just imagine yourself as a child being torn away from your parents. It's just mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling.
Family values, Tom.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So let's pick up some phone calls here and, you know, see where we're going with all
sure.
this. Kyle in Enid, Oklahoma, you are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan. It's our Middays with Mark Friday edition.
Well, thank you guys for taking my call. Congressman, I just heard something this morning that really, really disturbs me even more than all the other things that we're hearing about the president. And you may already know this, Tom, but he came out, and I don't know, it was Eastern Time, of course, and tweeted an hour before the markets opened how, I'm paraphrasing, eager he was to see the jobs numbers.
Right.
Everybody needs to see the jobs numbers. Now, I was a broker for a lot of years. I know that, and knowing what you all are saying and what I agree with about his personality, he wanted to draw attention. He had seen the numbers already.
Right.
Now,
he's basically revealing insider information here, Kyle.
Yes. How can Congress sit back? I'd go to prison if I did that. If I had tapped into those numbers and distributed them to one person and was caught, this thing is getting out of control in a hurry. Why won't Congress, if this won't create a situation that Congress would put their foot down, I don't know what would. If I'd have caught that an hour before the open, I could have made some money. I know the market didn't explode off of the numbers, but you can't do these things. You just can't do this. I don't even know. I used to say Trump has taken us into the twilight zone. Now I'm saying I'm feeling more like he's taking me into hell. I don't know what's going on with this guy.
It's a banana republic, Kyle. Congressman?
Yeah, Kyle, I mean, you know, I had the same reaction you did. I saw the tweet, I think it was at 7:15 or so this morning, my time, a good hour before they came out. And, you know, watching his administration try to spin now that, oh, he didn't say they were going to be good or anything. It's like, well, come on, Donald Trump is such a narcissist. He only puts things out there going to make him look good. So he clearly did that. And you're right, he could have had a real impact on markets and everything else, both good and bad, potentially, when he does something that he shares information that he's not supposed to share as a leader. So, you know, at some point, they're not going to be able to share it with him if he's going to do this, but of course, his people will continue to do that. You know, we may have to start looking at, again, more restrictions on the presidency because we have a president that can't be trusted. And I just think it's ironic. I think you'll appreciate this, Kyle, is, you know, the moving trading places. Remember the, was it the orange juice futures? I think they, remember how extensive and important that report was and the effect it had on the market and how they used that? That's what this is. When you have information like this, and you release it in a way that doesn't follow the official format, you can have huge impacts. And, you know, maybe Donald Trump will understand it better if we have him watch Trading Places again.
You almost wonder if he had a conversation with Carl Icahn on the phone and then thought, oh, my God, I got to cover this up. And who knows? I don't know. Yeah. Anyhow, hang on. We'll be
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
It's Middays with Mark Friday edition. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour here on Anything Goes Friday. We'll be back with more of your calls for the congressman right after this. Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program. It's our first hour, Congressman Mark Pocan, our Middays with Mark. This hour brought to you by GetQuip, QUIP.com, the electric toothbrush. Bob, in San Diego, California, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
My question is how come is it with all this voter suppression that goes on and all that, you don't hear word one about Jimmy Carter's oversight or, of elections on this, working on this, and even what other companies are working on this?
Didn't the Supreme Court rule that Carter and the UN could not view U.S. elections in states that don't allow it, Congressman?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, Tom, offhand. It is a good point that Bob's making, which is, you know, here we've got a former president who goes around the world to make sure that we have election integrity in countries that may not otherwise, and here we don't even have election integrity in our own country. I think one promising thing, Bob, I can say is that a couple weeks back we had a press conference outside the steps of the Capitol with Democrat leadership in both houses. John Sarbanes from Maryland leads up a lot of our good government efforts in Congress, and we actually have added a plank to the Better Deal package that Democrat leadership is promoting for going into the fall. But a big part of it was on election integrity, government ethics, campaign finance reform, and I think that's really positive because there are a lot of bills that when we take the majority, we are going to need to pass to make sure that everyone has that very important ability to vote and that their vote is counted and they don't have to worry about outside interference like we saw in 2016. So I think there are really good things moving on that front, and even if it's not Jimmy Carter, I'm seeing it among my colleagues, and I think that's new from what I've seen previously.
Leslie in Central Square, New York. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, it's Leslie Dean. I want to go back to the NDAA again. Okay, because it's passed again, and
this is the National Defense Authorization Act, aka our semi-annual funding for the Pentagon, or biannual, or whatever it is.
Okay, and the NDAA in 1948, it was called the Smith-Mundry Act, that said that the government cannot lie to the people. Okay, 2012, Obama attacked that. Okay, and also you have in this bill. Everybody should know, but they don't, that it gives the president the right to take any person away and never see him again. Okay? Now, how can... that was finished up to be fully taken out, that Smith-Mundry Act was turned around, and so now they can totally lie to the people. Okay? The government can. All right? Legally. Now, when that was...
Leslie, what's the question?
Time, okay, and this last time that it was passed... in 18, there was 87 in the Senate. 87 voted for this thing. Seven Democrats.
Leslie, what's your question?
The question is, how could that happen that our Senate, especially the Democrats half, would vote for
something? Okay, I got it. Congressman, Leslie made a number of claims that I'm not sure are actually true. Your thoughts on all this?
Let me say this to Leslie. So, I voted against it in the House, as did many members of the Progressive Caucus, for a lot of reasons, right? It's a lot of money that we're putting into defense that we think should be going elsewhere that will help people in this country. This year, the process in the House was especially egregious. There were over 600 amendments introduced, and I think only about 10 or 15, maybe 15, made in order. Two of which were to ensure American-made cutlery on our ships, but nothing was taken up that I had on Yemen or on Gaza or any other thing that should belong in an NDAA bill. So the whole process this time on the House was especially egregious. However, what happens is in many districts, many people have companies that get a piece of this pie that have people employed in their district, and they feel like they need to vote for it. I don't. I look at it for other broader reasons, but I think that's why you sometimes see large numbers in a bipartisan way pass this bill, because everyone in their district generally has multiple companies that are affected by this that employ lots and lots of people. Again, not at all rationale for me. I look at the awful process we had in the House. 600 amendments, many of them very substantial and weighty, and we were voting on American-made cutlery on ships. It was a bad, pathetic process.
Well, it sounds like a knife manufacturer made an investment in a member of Congress.
Yeah, someone in their district makes cutlery, and you know, and honestly, I have Fairbanks Morse in my district and makes these big engines for ships, and you know, we're supposed to, for American, especially military ships, buy American-made products for lots of good reasons. The Coast Guard and some others don't always do that, but you know, I don't put an amendment per se in there, but for someone to put it on cutlery and to make that in order when, you know, real substantial issues like aiding in what's going on in Yemen or not even beginning to even take a look at what's happening in Gaza right now, you know, that's just how ridiculous it was. We couldn't take up anything of substance. Instead, we took up those kind of amendments.
Yeah, and this thing's become a giant slush fund.
Yeah.
Remarkable. 27 minutes past the hour, Congressman Mark Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin, is taking your calls for the hour on the Friday edition of Middays with Mark. We'll be back with more of your calls for the Congressman right after this. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. 34 minutes past the hour, helping you win the water cooler wars. It's our Friday edition of Middays with Mark. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. Russ in Hickory Hills, Illinois. Russ, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Pocan, for taking my call. This is a little in the future call. You guys win the House. You think Nancy Pelosi next year at this time would maybe think about stepping down because of the aggravation that's going to come? Let's be frank. She's going to have a hard time controlling the Maxine Waters and the girl from Florida with the hat. You know they're going to be blowing steam on the Republican Party. You think she's going to step down or just turn a blind eye and let them loose and do whatever they want?
Yeah, Russ, I tell you, you know, we have a lot of conversations about should we even make this a subject, which I think the answer we try to tell people, and I'm trying not to not answer your question, but let me say it this way. We've got to win in November. We've got to pick up 24 seats. We're competitive in 110 districts that we have potential to pick up across the country. And until we pick up the majority, we don't have the luxury of the question that you're asking, which is, you know, who will be our leader? So I think what we're trying to do really is just keep our head down and work as hard as possible on getting to that majority. And then if we are lucky enough to have the problem of figuring out who our leader is, we will have that issue. But we've got to win the majority first. And I can tell you, whoever the leader is will have their hands full, because if we have a 10-seat margin, 20-seat margin, you know, we've got a lot of blue dogs. That's the most conservative element within our caucus that are probably going to be the bigger problems as we try to move things that the general caucus supports. You know, it's going to be a challenge no matter what. So, Russ, I'm not trying to not answer your question. What I'm trying to say is I think we all need to be focused on the November election. And then I will be on the air several times with you before we have the leadership election, or at least I think it will be several times before then. I'll be glad to have that conversation at that point. But right now, we are trying to keep focused on it's all about let's get to that 24-seat-plus majority, and then we've got potential to do the rest.
Amen. Don, in Winnsboro, South Carolina, you're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hey, Tom and Representative. How are you gentlemen today?
Good. Good, Don. Thank you.
I called you about 2 weeks ago, Tom, and spoke to you about an armed forces retirement home.
Yeah.
Two of them.
Yeah, you said.
And I'd like the Representative Pocan, if he could, if someone could, on his staff could look into it and see what's going on. What I explained before was these two retirement homes, armed forces retirement homes, have got residents in both the homes, and they've given up whatever lifestyle they had to move into these homes, most of them because of their health and age. Now the home is saying come 1 October, they're going to increase the fee for the residents from 40% to 60% of their gross income. Many of these people, that will take up almost every cent they have, and they'll get a stripping from the home to get the necessities that they need. These people have not gotten any warning that the cost was going to go from 40% of their gross income to 60. That's a 50% increase in what they're going to be paying each month. Also, there's a minimum amount or maximum amount you can pay per month is 1,500 and change. That amount is gone on 1 October from 1,500 to 3,000 and change, 100% increase. And Representative Pocan, if you could have someone on your staff look into it, it's Armed Forces Home in Washington, D.C., and Armed Forces homes in Gulfport, Mississippi. My wife and I are both retirees Air Force, and we're thinking about going to these homes, but this is getting a little steep on the expenses for going into the home.
Don, thank you for that, and I will be glad to. So Gulfport, Mississippi, and Washington, D.C. Okay, so I will definitely look into it. This is one of the sad stories, you know, Don, that at a time that we have put so much extra money into the Defense Department for Army contractors military contractors that were not taking care of the people who've already served this country or are serving this country. You know, Donald Trump tried to claim he was the only person to provide increases in pay, and then, of course, all the articles are showing how that's not true, that there have been bigger increases and all the rest. But especially on the retiree side, you know, I would argue, Tom, that we have a retiree crisis coming very quickly in this country. The fact that so many people are independent contractors right now, I think it's 70 million people are estimated to be independent contractors, many miscategorized that way, who won't have any kind of retirement, that we are in a real point of, we've got to address it as a country or else we're going to have people living in poverty in their senior years. And Don, as you said, 50% increases and those kind of giant increases are an awful lot for you know, people who have served this country and are living in those facilities. So I'll be glad to look into it, but it is one of the sad states of affairs that this is what the Trump administration sees as a way to try to save money as opposed to you know, the additional nuclear weapons that he wants us to have when we already have thousands.
Joe in Kent, Washington, listening on KBCS. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Hello, Congressman. I'm like a wannabe political cartoonist without the talent, but I've had one floating around my head for a while, and that's Trump's let's drain the swamp. Mm-hmm. Well, I think what he's done is, instead of draining the swamp, he's created a cesspool, a cesspool with a whole lot of floaters. That's his boss and old EPA guy, and you know.
Yeah.
So do you have a question, Joe, or is that your comment?
Well, no, I just wanted to throw that out.
Okay, great.
Congressman, on radio. Thank you.
Okay, Congressman, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Joe, I'll tell you, you know, you, even though I know you're saying it in jest, you know, looking at, you know, as a cartoonist, how you would depict what's happened, I think you're putting your thumb on something that I think is one of the most underrated reasons why Donald Trump was successful. We know that in many ways, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump had a very similar message around the rigged system. Now, Donald Trump, of course, didn't mean it, but he got a very good phrase in there, drain the swamp. We know that he's dredged even a bigger swamp. He's built a high-rise luxury condo on the swamp. I mean, it's anything. He just put his own class of swamp creature in. But it really resonated because so many people economically feel like they aren't better off when the economy has come back for the stock market and for productivity and for the wealthiest. It hasn't yet done that for everyone else. So I think, you know, where we would make a huge mistake if we don't recognize that that Donald Trump was brilliant in dealing with the drain the swamp. Where we have to be able to respond back, and we did polling on this, Tom, for the Progressive Caucus in 30 competitive congressional districts, people consider the swamp also to be big banks and big corporations. And if we don't recognize that because they toss a nickel or two our way at campaign time, we don't deserve to be in the majority. And I think that that issue of drain the swamp really does resonate very, very strongly. People in, across the political spectrum still feel like the system is rigged against them, and it is. And we have to be honest enough and willing enough to say that and how we would address it.
Carl in Greenville, South Carolina. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Carl Rudd, and I have been watching your show for a little while, and I love it. It's a whole lot better than mainstream media.
Thank you.
I would like to ask the congressman what his response is going to be and what Congress's response is going to be about the $21 trillion of unaccounted for spending. From what I see on my news feeds, it's mostly military. So I'm like Jethro Bodine. I've done graduated fifth grade. I know my gazentas. $21 trillion of unaccounted for spending. That doesn't add up. So what is your response going to be to that, and what should Congress's response be?
Yeah, Carl, and as you pointed out, much of that, in fact, I think the lion's share of it is in the Defense Department. And one of the bills that we've had out there that we've actually worked on with some more conservative members of the Republican Party. So there is bipartisan support, is an effort to audit the Pentagon. Right now, we don't do that, and we need to do that. When so much money is out there and no one is looking after it, you can only imagine the potential abuses, but also, maybe not intentional abuses, but unintentional abuses that lead to having this kind of economic situation. So to me, that would should be a priority for anyone, Democrats or Republicans. Let's make sure that we're treating everything with the same scrutiny as tax dollars, and that means auditing the Pentagon.
Amen.
We are talking with Congressman Mark Pocan. It's the Friday edition of Middays with Mark here on Anything Goes Friday on the Tom Hartman Program. We will be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan in just a moment. It's coming up on 15 minutes before the top of the hour. Stick around. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls. Charlene in Nokomis, Illinois. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi. Congressman Pocan, I was wanting to ask you about liberal news that we heard on Amy Goodman's show, Democracy Now!, last week, and The Intercept has made an animated video about it, that Democratic officials are working to stop progressive candidates in primaries all over the country, instead choosing to back corporate candidates that are business-friendly. They've got proof of it. A little guy called Levi Tillman in Denver, Colorado, he recorded Congressman Steny Hoyer telling him, he's supposed to be the number two guy after under Nancy Pelosi, telling him to drop out, you know. And also, the DCCC, they say, has renewed its friendship with the Blue Dog Caucus, which is conservative, funded by Wall Street, big oil, big banks, to pick candidates that are, you know, corporate-friendly.
So we have a little less than a minute left here, Charlene. Let's get Congressman Pocan's thoughts on this. A lot on the table.
Yeah, so Charlene, you did put a lot on the table, but I first of all, I don't think the DCCC should interfere in primaries, period. I think there has been a concern around California because of the jungle system, where you could have six Democrats, two Republicans in a 60% Democratic district. If they split up the vote, the two candidates going forward could be Republicans. So that's always a dilemma. I don't understand that system, but I'm not making an excuse for the DTRIP to get involved. I think even worse, when they go against one person but not for anyone, that seems even more astray. And I think when people try to talk someone out of running, like you saw in Colorado, at that level from leadership, that doesn't serve us well. Let people figure out the primaries, like we just saw in a district in Nebraska. Now we need to have the DTRIP get behind the Democrat in those races. And, I think as progressives, we do back progressive candidates. Blue Dogs can back more conservative candidates. But as a DCCC and as a party, it should be neutral.
Congressman Mark Pocan, thank you so much, Congressman.
Thank you, Tom. Again, appreciate it. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you. You too. You got a great talking. We'll be back. Hey, I've got to tell you about the world's best chair. Most of us spend over 2,000 hours a year sitting in our office chairs. And if you have back problems or trouble concentrating throughout the day, there's a simple reason. You're sitting in the wrong chair. Take your chair, your style, and your productivity to the next level with an X chair. The X chair's unique anthropomorphic design and dynamic variable lumbar support cradle your body in a way you need to feel to believe. And a more comfortable posture means better concentration and much higher productivity. In fact, if you're a business owner, there's no better way to reward your top performers than giving them an X chair. And the X chair's sleek, modern style will upgrade the entire look of your office. Give yourself and your staff the gift that pays dividends 5 days a week, year-round. Feel and see the X Chair difference by going to xchairtom.com right now. That's the letter X, Chair, Tom, T-H-O-M.com, or call 1-844-4-X-CHAIR. If you're not truly thrilled by the look and feel after 30 days, return it for a full refund. Order today and save $100 and get free shipping. If you go to xchairtom.com right now and enter the code Tom, T-H-O-M, you get a free footrest. That's xchairtom.com or call 1-844-X-CHAIR. We have one here. We love it. xchairtom.com.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. On the line with us is Michael Pollan. He's the author, journalist, activist, and professor of journalism at UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. His website, Michael Pollan, P-O-L-L-A-N.com. You can tweet him at Michael Pollan as well. And he has a new book out and a new article in, it was the cover of the New York Times Magazine, wasn't it, Michael?
Yeah, it was last Sunday. It was the Sunday before last, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I don't have the book on my one sheet here. What's the title of the book?
title of the book is How to Change Your Mind, and the subtitle is What the New Science of Psychedelics is Teaching Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence.
Thank you. In fact, I did a book report on this book, which is on video and on our website now, but I just didn't have it right in front of me. So, Michael, how do you change your mind? Tell us what you learned in writing this book.
Well, what I learned was that psychedelic drugs, such as psilocybin, especially, and also LSD and mescaline, have been used for many years in healing, as a therapeutic aid, and research into its value today resumed. There is a renaissance going on, and there are very important trials being conducted in places like NYU and Johns Hopkins, using especially psilocybin because it's less controversial than LSD. And psilocybin is the ingredient in magic mushrooms to help people deal with anxiety, depression, addiction, obsession, and they're getting wonderful results. These are still small preliminary trials, but the signal here is very strong. And so I decided to explore this, looking at it from a historical, scientific, and personal point of view.
I had tried psychedelics, LSD, mescaline, psilocybin, back in the late 60s as a teenager. And by the way, I'm not recommending that teenagers do this, but it just the knowledge, and I got, as a result of that, I had this deep belief, this deep knowing that the world that I see around me is merely a piece of it all, and that the way my brain works is only a fragment of this greater universal consciousness. I mean, that was just so real, it literally altered the course of my life, and to this day, more than 50 years later, is still with me. Is that a common experience?
Yeah, it is, and I've been really struck since I've been out talking about the book to audiences all over the country, how many people had an experience like yours, Tom, some powerful experience that pretty much they've kept in a box labeled weird drug experience for many, many years, but in fact was transformative. And the drugs appear to temporarily rewire the brain in a way that gives people a very fresh and powerful perspective on the scene of their own lives and allows people to change. Most people do them at the age you were, as teenagers or in their early 20s. But it also appears that they have special value for people later in life. I was approaching 60 before I actually experimented with psychedelics. And by the time you're 60, you're kind of stuck in certain habits of thought, for better or worse. You kind of have these mental algorithms to help you navigate the day. But they tend to blind you to the present moment, to fresh experience, to wonder, and to shake the snow globe, as one of the doctors, one of the researchers working in this suggested, has a special value, I think, for people when they're getting older, when they're kind of locked into ways of thinking. Not to mention people who are seriously locked into ways of thinking, and I'm talking about addicts and depressives.
Yeah, absolutely agreed. Although I would add, as perhaps a cautionary note, and I'd love to get your take on this. I know from reading your, I actually have your book right here in my hand now, How to Change Your Mind. Mm-hmm. And Michael was also the author of The Omnivore's Dilemma and has been on this program before about that. The first time I took acid, it was with a guy named Keith St. Clair, who was one of Tim Leary's 12 disciples that he sent out into the world. And Keith came to East Lansing to MSU to teach us how to appropriately use acid. It was with him and the pastor of the local Methodist church. And we did it in the sanctuary. And then, another experience I had with a group of Native Americans. Those were profound experiences. But I had friends who were taking acid and going to parties and ending up having just meltdown horror trips. And so set and setting, I always thought set and setting has to be the beginning and end of the whole thing.
Absolutely right. Those terms, which were introduced by Timothy Leary, but developed a few years before, basically make use of the fact that there are no drugs more suggestible in their effects. There's nothing inherent in the LSD molecule or the psilocybin molecule. It's activating things already present in your mind. And so set means mindset, the kind of internal environment you're dealing with when you embark on one of these journeys. And setting is literally the physical setting. And the fact that you did it in such a sacred place and you had guidance from people you trusted is why you had such a positive experience, I would bet. And,
yeah.
And people do have horrifying, terrifying experiences. And it's often the result of one of two things. Either the setting, they've taken a handful of mushrooms and walked down the city street or gone to a concert and don't feel safe, or the fact that they were resisting what was happening in their mind. The fact is, at a high dose, these drugs commandeer your mind for a period of time, and you may well feel your sense of self or ego dissolving. Now, that can be a terrifying experience, and if you resist it, you'll get very anxious. So what a guide does, and most of the use of these drugs now in the therapeutic setting is guided very carefully by one or two people who are with you the whole time and are not partaking of the drugs. But the guides prepare you by telling you you should surrender. Don't fight whatever happens. And if you go with it, if you relax your mind and float downstream, as John Lennon famously wrote, you're bound to have a much more positive experience than if you resist what is happening in your mind.
Yeah, the one thing I remember from Keith speaking to me when I did have a, whoa, what's going on here, was no matter what happens to you, this drug is going to wear off in 5 or 6 hours, no matter what happens. And so, you know, just relax and enjoy it,
go with it
to the extent that you can. And it will, you know, you're going to come back to normal, whether you want to or not. And, of course, that's what happened. So, Michael, the fate and future of psychedelics, you know, obviously the psychiatric and psychological communities are starting to look at these seriously. The spiritual communities are also looking at them seriously. But the legal community still considers this stuff, you know, if you touch it, you go to prison. Do you see any changes happening in that realm?
It's a Schedule I drug, which is the highest or lowest category. And it means that the drug has no accepted medical use and it has a high potential for abuse. Both those facts turn out not to be true, although officially they're still the line. I think what's happening is that these drugs, along with MDMA, which is also known as ecstasy or Molly, are on a track to be approved by the FDA as medicines, so that the researchers working with them are conducting drug trials under FDA auspices. And once they get through the required set of trials and have tested the drugs on enough people and proven that they're effective and safe, which they're well on their way to doing, the FDA will declare psilocybin and MDMA a medicine. And at that point, doctors will be able to prescribe it. So I think that's the future course. I think there is a very good chance that within the next 5 years, these drugs will be approved for use in medicine. I don't see a future where they'll be legalized for everybody. I think there is a real virtue in controlling or regulating the experience. The kinds of experience, one of the things we learned from traditional cultures, I heard you were just talking about the Shoshone, is that many of them use psychedelics. This is in the New World and the Old World. There are many psychedelic plants and mushrooms, but they always did it in a highly controlled setting. There were always elders or a shaman present. There was always a sense of ceremony, and you could only use the drugs in this particular setting. I think this minimized the kinds of psychological risks that are a real threat with these drugs. Yeah. So that whatever happens with it, I would hope that we don't go down the path we did with cannabis, which is kind of, you know, in many states, which is kind of, you know, if you're over 18, you can do whatever you want. I think that the idea of having licensed guides or doctors involved is probably a good one, because they're powerful drugs and they have great potential for benefit and potential for psychological harm.
I would completely agree. Michael Pollan, his new book, How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence. And we didn't even get into a conversation about people who are dying or are in extraordinary pain and how useful these things are. You can read about it in Michael's book. Michael Pollan, great, brilliant work as always. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tom. A pleasure as usual.
Thank you. Great talking with you. MichaelPollan.com is the website. Hang on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And it's spelled P-O-L-L-A-N. You can tweet him at Michael Pollan. Welcome back. It's Anything Goes Friday here on the Tom Hartman Program. And Carol in Merle's Inlet, South Carolina. Hey, Carol, what's on your mind?
Tom, hi. I like the guy's saying. I think that can be played with. Remember in November that there was a big lie that only 64 people died from after Hurricane Maria struck Puerto Rico, and the numbers now are 4,600 plus.
Right.
I was on the island of Vieques in the 80s during war games. That was one of the Puerto Rican islands.
That's the one we used to bomb, wasn't it?
Well, Vieques was the bombing range for the U.S. military for decades, and I was there during war games that I found out later was the lead up to the Grenada invasion under Reagan, right?
Oh, my.
all night long, ordinances going off. That island has not been cleaned up. Two-thirds of the island was U.S. military. It isn't currently, but it is a hazmat site. It's a Superfund site. Needs to be cleaned up. I think executive order, Trump loves those executive orders. He needs to get boots on the ground, deployed U.S. military without weapons, though, but with shovels and whatever, to start digging up unexploded ordnance and clean up that island. And furthermore, I would like to see it turned into solar and wind farms that can provide electricity for all of Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
The U.S. taxpayers owe the Puerto Ricans that much, and we're starting a new hurricane season, and I'm so frightened to think of what can happen because they're still not up, you know, up and running.
Oh, they're not even halfway there. I mean, it's even what's running is so fragile. And in that year, if Elon Musk, he actually solarized a hospital down there. If the solar companies and the Trump administration had worked something out, they could have hardened that island. I mean, Cuba was back in business a week after Maria, and it was hit dead on. Cuba was hit dead on. Puerto Rico, using American infrastructure and privatized companies in some cases, and then these contractors from Whitefish, Montana, is a basket case as a result of, you know, our infliction of this insane crony capitalism on them. I think it's just terrible. Excellent points, Carol. Thank you for the call, and thanks for making them. Elton in Lima, Ohio. Hey, Elton, what's up?
Hey, it's been a long time. Regarding the tariffs, if the public knew what it was costing them, I think you'd have a different reaction to saying, oh, we're just putting it to the Europeans or whatever. The Maroney label on a new car, for instance, has to list everything that adds up to the price. Put the tariff on there for people to see. I think you'll have a different reaction.
Well, it could be. I mean, Elton, the way it should work is that we impose tariffs. That causes manufacturing to be desirable, fashionable, profitable to do once again in the United States. Then manufacturers go into business and they start hiring people and they hire at good old-fashioned union wages. The problem with that is that ever since Reagan, good old-fashioned union wages have largely vanished. I mean, Reagan declared war on labor. When he came into office, a third of the American workforce was unionized. Now it's 6% in the private sector. And you've got GM, which used to be offering, in today's dollars, the equivalent of $50 an hour, starting out with a good union job on the assembly lines. Now they're starting at $14.50 an hour. So, you know, it's going to be really hard to see that manufacturing come back, produce those good jobs, if we don't combine, like Sherrod Brown advocates, for example, and the Progressive Caucus advocates, a tariff-based trade system, a mercantilist trade system, which I'm an advocate for, along with restoring protections to labor so that they can demand reasonable prices and we can once again rebuild the middle class. I don't mind spending an extra $500 for my car if I'm making an extra $2,000 in my paycheck this year because I've got a decent job making cars. I do mind spending an extra $500 on the car if I'm not making an extra penny anywhere, even if I'm now doing manufacturing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Now, that makes a lot of sense. You mentioned Reagan. I just want to add one thing in there. Without, besides the unions, his cutting the top tax rate down made it much less profitable for a business to give higher wages.
That's correct.
If you have a 70% tax and you give a $1,000 raise, it only costs you $300 because the other $700 would have been taxes anyway.
Right.
And that's driven wages down across the board.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And this is the big thing, by the way. Tax cuts, across the board tax cuts, don't help working people because their employers know that they've got more take-home pay, so they're just going to freeze their wages for the next decade, which is exactly what happened in the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s, is nobody saw a wage increase because the taxes went down, so the take-home pay actually went up, and employers knew they were willing to work for less than that. On the other hand, when you cut taxes on rich people, they actually see a benefit from it, which is why the rich people have gotten massively more rich, and you know, the rest of us, no, not so much. And
right,
you know,
exactly.
So this is yeah. Thanks a lot for the call, Elton. See, this is the thing. Trump goes out and demagogues this like, it's just all about tariffs and trade policy, and we're going to stick up for American manufacturers, and we're going to bring back American steel, and all this kind of stuff. But there are multiple factors here, and the Republicans are on the wrong side of history on all of them except the tariffs, which is why their tariffs are not going to work. Because you have to combine that with a reasonable trade policy with reasonable domestic policies, and you have to, and you can't do it in these 5-year windows like Mike Pence is talking about. He just blew up the NAFTA negotiation by saying everything's got to be within a 5-year window. Nobody's going to build a damn factory, including here in the United States, knowing that in 5 years the whole rules of the game are going to change. It just doesn't happen.
By the way, you've got a super treat coming up for you in about 6 minutes. Sean Taylor has been the executive producer of this program for 10 and a half years. She has done virtually everything here except fill in for me, which she's about to do. She books our guests. She runs our board. She's answered calls. She's done all kinds of stuff. She was here with Louise and I when we were in Portland, when we moved to D.C. She stayed here in Portland but continued to be our executive producer and run the show. She is spectacular. And she is going to be taking the rest of your calls right after this, because I got to hop on a plane. I'm going over to London to see Sue, who was running our chat room and doing our newsletter. She just had surgery. She's getting better in the hospital. I'll give you a report on how Sue Nethercutt is doing when I get back from England on Monday. I'm coming back Sunday afternoon, but my plane is leaving in about an hour, so I got to run. So up next, Sean Taylor. Stick around. It's 28 minutes past the hour on Anything Goes Friday.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman program. Do not adjust your sets or your dial. I am not Tom. I'm Sean Taylor, Tom's producer for many years. And Tom is traveling, so I'll be taking your calls for the next 30 minutes. So let's get right to your phone calls. We're going to talk to Mike in, is it Loma Linda, California? Mike?
Lomita, Sean. Yeah, just a quick update on the incident last week where the NFL owners allegedly voted to penalize players who kneel during the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out from later reporting by an ESPN reporter that they never took a formal vote. This was just the announcement of some sort of an informal straw poll, so enforceability might be a problem. Also, a lot of callers last week were saying that NFL has nonprofit status. It has not had that for about 3 years. What they do have, it's their license to print money, is an antitrust exemption, which was put in 1966. And there have been right-wing threats against the NFL's antitrust exemption ever since the whole business of kneeling during the national anthem started. Right-wing sites saying, gee, antitrust is so terrible, and all these second paragraph, all these bums are kneeling and disrespecting the flag. So that's the background of why they came out with the announcement, I suspect.
How do you feel about them, about the players kneeling? Are you okay with that?
Well, I do it every week in church. I see no problem with it.
Well said, Mike. Thanks for the call. Anna, New York. Whoops, hang on here. Let Mike go. And, all right, we're learning the phone system. Here we go. Emma
okay,
in New York.
You.
Hi.
Yeah, speaking. Yes, this country has had its high points. It's golden eras, like England.
Mm-hmm.
It has had its good and bad times. We are facing so many discriminations. We are facing fighting. We are facing discriminations. This country belonged to the nativos. And what is happening is wrong. So whether it's in our government, that when somebody speaks, it is through the power of the tongue. I happen to be a Catholic who converted from the Hare Krishna movement to Catholicism. It is through the power of the tongue. So when Jesus preached for 3 years, he said, don't go to the oppressed, go to the oppressor. And I think that that can change America. And not only that, unite the whole globe.
Or get the oppressors out of office.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Good. Exactly.
Well said. Well said, Emma. Thank you for the call. Chris, watching. Oh, wait, we'll save that one for the break, free speech. David, watching in Lombard, Illinois. David, you have some advice for Democrats?
Yes, hi.
Hi, David. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a dyed-in-the-blue Democrat. I will always be true to it. But I have a real problem with the Democratic Party right now because I don't know what they stand for. I don't know what they want to do. You know, I don't see a list of priorities. Every week I get a dozen letters from different organizations and senators and House of Representatives for $3 and $5. You know, it's like, obviously everybody's out for getting their hands, but I don't see a list. Like Tom was just talking about Reagan did this and Reagan did that. Well, we've had two Democratic presidents since Reagan, each at 8 years. And the problems that these things have caused are not, why couldn't Obama or Clinton rescind what Reagan did if it was so bad? I just want to see a list of things, the first things on November after the election, after we take control, what What's going to get done? What's the highest priority to go back?
David, let me ask you a question. Are you showing up at your local chapter meetings?
I used to. I haven't. I've been planning to. I'm going to do
that. Because if you want things to change and you want to know what's being done, you've got to be part of the solution, and that means showing up.
Well, I used to, for a long time, I was making phone calls. I've got some health issues now. I can't walk anymore. But, you know, I'm 70 years old, and I'm kind of concerned that these things aren't going to get, they're not going to inspire the young people to come in and see what's going to happen.
Well, I believe, like Tom does, that we are the ones that we've been waiting for, and that it's time for all of us to get active. And if you can't go to meetings, call your local representatives and let them know how you feel. Call the DNC and let them know how you feel. And if you have a list of things that you'd like to see them add, then by all means, let them know. You know, they're not mind readers.
But our leaders know these things. Tom's talking about these things. They all know these things.
But we have to hold them accountable. If we don't tell them that that's what we want them to do, then, you know, they're not necessarily going to do them. They may know them, but they need to be reminded.
Well, we go every year, every 4 years, we put on a platform.
True.
Before the election.
Mm-hmm.
But do we have a platform that just is a running platform, so we all know that on November 8th, or whatever the date is for this election, or after the next, after we take control of Congress, this is the priority. I mean, we should have a list, and a priority list. And we go back to the Reagan things. Okay, so they knocked down the tax rate down, you know, so we're not able to do this, you know.
Well, the first thing we got to do is get control of the House and the Senate again. So that's getting active, getting involved with your local party. If you can't, calling the people who can. If you can't knock on doors, make phone calls. You know, answer phones at the phone banks. But it's important to get involved, or none of this is going to happen if we all run off in different directions. We've got to get together, and we've got to make change happen. And we can. We all know we can. David, thank you for the call. I'm going to move along here and go to, let's see, Judy, listening to AM 1310 in Wyandotte. Is that Michigan, Judy?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air. You want to talk about what Democrats should do?
Yeah, well, I'd like to talk about what they're not doing and what they could do. I agree 100% with the last caller.
Mm-hmm.
I just made a comment an hour ago to somebody that I get emails every single week from Indivisible with a plan of action plans for me to do every week. I am vice president of one Democratic club. I am an active member of another, and I have volunteered my time on countless campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
I am extremely active, and what the Democratic Party is doing from the top down is awful. They do nothing. I have never seen a voter registration drive organized in my county. I have never seen a small, what Sean King had an excellent editorial in the New York Daily News today about how the Democrats have a hard time admitting that they're not connecting well with the people who they want to support them. All I get is emails asking for money. I get no concrete suggestions on what I could be doing to affect change. And just voting for Democrats is not enough right now. That's not who's winning. Who's winning? Progressives are winning. People who genuinely inspire other people are winning.
Which is winning.
And that's what the Democrats need to do.
People. And Judy, that's why we all need to be showing up at the meetings. It sounds like you're leading the way in your community, and we need everybody else to get involved and get active. You can't do it alone. And it's got to start from, if it's not coming from the top down, it's got to come from the ground up.
Well,
and that's you and me.
But you can, progressive candidates, progressive people in clubs can get behind progressive candidates, and the leaders of the DCCC will step in and say, no, that's not who we're looking at. They just did it in the attorney general race in Michigan, and guess what? The progressives showed up in record numbers at Cobo Hall, and we voted for the progressive Democrat that we wanted, and Dana Nessel is on our ballot in August.
Good on you. Well, that's a lesson for everybody else to get out there and do what you're doing.
It is.
Yep. Let them know. Use your voice. Use your vote.
I do, but when the people at the top are tone deaf, It feels sometimes like you're beating your head against the wall.
Yep, I hear you, but that just means you have to say it louder.
Well,
all right, thank you for the call, Judy. I'm going to move along here, but thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
All right, let's see. We've got Mike listening in West Palm Beach. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
What's on your mind? I can hear you.
Great. What is being said is it's extremely important, the involvement of the progressives and Democrats and independents to change this government is crucial. But I need to remind people, the demon of Donald Trump is only there because 45% of the people in this country are happy with him. That's the scary issue.
Mm-hmm.
And when he is gone, which he will be gone, you cannot make these assumptions that, well, you know, we did our job, we made a mistake, and now we got rid of him. You know what? This GOP push has been going on for 40 years. And I want to remind people that the worst thing that has happened in the last 50 years in our democracy was not done by Donald Trump,
mm-hmm.
but it was done by Mitch McConnell. The theft of a SCOTUS PIP was the biggest crime against the Constitution, and he is proud of it. He is bragging that he is a student of the Constitution. Yet that theft was the greatest crime, and I give him credit for getting away with it, because all of Americans should have been on the streets. Even Republicans should have said, you know what, this is going to come back to haunt us, which it will
mm-hmm.
if we fight.
Mm-hmm.
They owe Democrats and progressives two SCOTUS picks now. And the picks that we make should be, I don't care, should be the most liberal, transgender, I don't care. But to make up for that theft, we should really stick it to them for a change.
Well, you know, we should do what's best for the country, too. So, and let's impeach Mitch McConnell. That'd be fun. Whoop, looks like he hung up. Chris, I'm going to hang on to you here. Steve, listening to WCPT, you want to talk about political reform?
Well, actually, yes, and a part I wanted to respond to a couple of the previous callers. I mean, with all due respect to people, I know that the Democrats aren't doing the greatest job in terms of messaging, but, you know, it's not up to a political party to be your political life coach. You're not fifth graders, and no one who's ever taken a civics class or ever taken a basic political science class in college needs a political party to tell you the difference between Republicans and Democrats and their policies. I mean, for heaven's sakes, in the day of the Internet, you can easily research this on your own. And it's not up to the Democratic Party to handhold your way through this process to give you an idea of what distinguishes them from the Republicans. And to say that, as a previous caller suggested, well, we've had Democratic presidents. Yes, they were presidents. We don't elect emperors in this country. Bill Clinton was a president for only about a year or so before the Gingrich Revolution of 1994. So exactly how are you supposed to get things done, especially in light of the fact that we have plenty of blue dog Democrats that vote continuously as if they were Republicans? So don't tell me that simply because we elected a Democratic president in Barack Obama and Bill Clinton that you are all of a sudden looking for miraculous change that comes with a wave of a hand that's akin to a dictatorship. We don't have that in this country.
That's
and
true.
No matter how much power a president has, he doesn't have a seat on the Supreme Court. He inherits the Supreme Court from somebody else's nominee.
Yeah, so and let's get ours in next time. Steve, thank you for listening to WCPT in Chicago, and we'll be right back. We're coming up against a break, and it's about 48 minutes past the hour. And welcome back. Althea, you've been holding for a while. You've got an idea for Democrats?
It's not so much an idea as the previous callers. I agree with them in theory, but I think we stand Democrats, and I refer to them more as sane and logical, with many ideas. I mean, any given day, any given weekend, you're out there and you see hundreds, if not thousands, of people marching for gun reform, education, Medicare, Medicaid, you name it. It is like I'm out there. I've taken Tom Hartman to heart. I've gotten involved. I go to my LD18 district meetings. I donate, and I do sort through all the various organizations that have their hand out. It may be and appears that the people at the top, the Tom Perez's, maybe are not getting their message out, but that's not up to them. It's for us. They are driven by us.
Well said, and good on you for getting involved too, Althea. You're absolutely right. They can deliver the message, but we need to get it out there and pass it around.
And it's educating oneself, and I feel like I don't know if I'm a progressive. I know there's change, and I know we need to make it, but I have, going to these various meetings, found that these Bernie people have cloned progressive for themselves, and good for them. But what I'm saying to them is be inclusive and don't believe that you have to be at the pinnacle of every single topic or conversation. Be inclusive. We can't have what we had in the last election where people were voting for Jill Stein just to spite the party, and look at what we're living with. And I've always, being a minority, we've learned to always go for the greater good, not what is happening for us, because Obama promised Hispanics many of things, and we were always kicked to the bottom of the list. But the but was, he is far better and was far better than what we currently have now.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't get his agenda because that previous gentleman said, because Mitch McConnell was the party of no. We have to remember why we're being driven, and we have to stay involved. And the thing about it is, I may not agree with certain people here in Arizona.
Just keep working on it there, Althea, and thank you for the call. Brooke, listening to the program on Sirius, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Thanks so much, Sean.
Thanks for listening to Sirius, too.
Thanks. You're doing a great job, by
the way.
I agree with a lot of what the callers are saying.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's the Democratic Party is really being, out of fear, is being taken over by win at any cost thinking. And I keep reminding them that it's win at any cost that made the Republican Party what it is.
Take it back.
New York, right. We're being, and frankly, I have been involved on many, many levels for many years. And I stopped being involved in our local Democratic Party because the head of it is a bully. In all honesty, I have a neighbor who's elderly. She's always out on the street getting names for petitions, and I live in New York. And when she brings up the problem of Andrew Cuomo, which is a big problem, he governs like a Republican. He has the IBC. He's all for gerrymandering districts. He does what he wants.
When Cynthia Nixon, good alternative.
Well, yes, I'm working on her, but you know, she was shut out of the party. But let me tell you, we know politics is local. And when she's brought up in this meeting, people roll their eyes, they name call, and they actively bully.
Brooke, just keep plugging, and thank you for what you're doing. I've got to let you go because we're running out of time here, and I just want to get Tom's message out that democracy is not a spectator sport. It starts with all of us. Thanks for listening. Tag your it, as Tom would say. Have a great weekend. Tom will be back Monday.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.
Dreaming of starting your own podcast? Make it a reality with the Movo Pod Kit, the podcast bundle designed for aspiring podcasters ready to share their voice with the world. The Pod Kit is equipped with everything you'll need to sound like a pro while being backed by a one-year warranty with a U.S.-based support team. Start your podcasting journey today with the Movo Pod Kit and let the world hear your story. Movo, creators wanted.